Antoine Winfield Jr. is changing things up, and it might just help the defense get back to their Super Bowl dominant ways. That and more on today's episode of Locked On Bucks.
Your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up and welcome to the Locked On Bucks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for making Locked On Bucks your first listen or view every single day. And don't forget, you can subscribe or follow for free on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter. I am James Yarko at Jarko underscore Bucks. He is Evan Klosky at E Klosky WTSP. We are your hosts here on WTSP Wednesday episodes of Locked On Bucks. I am the deputy editor of SB Nation's BucksNation.com. And of course, Evan can be found on 10 Tampa Bay and at 10TampaBay.com. We are here with you every Monday through Friday, along with our everydayers. And as always, we want to share our appreciation for all of you and your continued support. Thank you again for making Locked On Bucks your first listen or view every day. Kyle Trask loves what the Buccaneers have done in the quarterback room. That is coming up a little bit later on this show. But first, Antoine Winfield Jr. spoke to the media on Tuesday about switching to free safety. And when he was asked about the difference between free safety versus what he did last year, where David and I were pounding the table that he was all-pro caliber last season before the injury bug decided to keep smacking him around all over the place. But Winfield said, quote, "I would say it's similar to what I was doing last year. It's just I'll probably be in the middle of the field more. So I like having that freedom to roam around, be in the middle of the field, and have that presence all over," end quote. Now, he also talked about how that is going to present more opportunities for pass breakups and, of course, interceptions. And that's something that Antoine really stressed with the media, is how important it is to get those takeaways. He said, when the ball is in the air, when it gets tipped into the air, that's ours. And we have to come down with that football. So, Evan, my question to you, last year it was kind of, you know, Antoine was all over the place and Mike Edwards was kind of the ball hawk. How do you see this defense changing, whether in your opinion it's good or bad, with Antoine kind of being that guy that roams in the back and can play kind of that ball hawk role?
Well, Todd Bowles believes that Antoine Winfield Jr. in that rover position, sort of in the middle of the field, being able to kind of control the situation a little bit more versus what he was put in last year, where he was moved all around. Bowles believes that's going to be a winning ticket for them to get more turnovers. They obviously went away from that last season. It was a huge problem. And honestly, outside of the roster and things to sort of worry about depth-wise, if there's one thing to be optimistic about entering next year, is how well the defense performed without really forcing turnovers. Remember, they had a stretch of like 8 weeks where they didn't turn the ball over. And that is so unlike Todd Bowles' defenses. Usually he's a top five in the NFL type of guy. 30 interceptions is sort of like where they want to be. 30 turnovers. 30 interceptions would be very impressive. 30 turnovers. So Bowles wants to put one of his best players in a position to wreak more havoc. And I think that is going to be the winning ticket. Obviously, there are going to be some possible deficiencies elsewhere, depending on, you know, what happens if Jamel or Carlton get injured, and, you know, you leave kind of Zion over there on the outside, and does he get picked apart like he was last year when he stepped into a bigger role? There might be some game planning things that take that advantage away, but this move should not only help the Buccaneers get more turnovers, it should also solidify Antoine Winfield Jr.'s status entering free agency and getting the contract he so deserves, most likely from the Buccaneers. We believe that he's a guy that Tampa Bay is going to want to keep around.
It better be from the Buccaneers, because yeah, Antoine is probably one of Jason Light's best day two picks of his tenure as GM. You know, might be one of his best picks, period. But when you take a look at his history on day two, he's had some really solid hits. He's had some misses, every GM does. But Antoine Winfield Jr.'s level of play and his versatility, especially in Todd Bowles' defense, has made him one of the most important players on the Buccaneers' defense. So I take a look at this move, and I think, okay, you're putting one of your best players in a position where he gets to go out and do what he does best, and that's make plays. And when you have somebody like that that you trust on the back end of the defense, that's going to help Carlton Davis do what he does. It's going to help Jamel Dean do what he does. It's going to, you know, it's going to help the front set. It helps everybody. So I think this is kind of the perfect thing for them to do at this stage, especially when, you know, what, a month and a half, 2 months ago, whatever it was, we were talking about how Antoine was the only safety on the team, and it was a pretty huge position of need. So I think they're making the right decision in making this move back over to free safety and letting Antoine Winfield Jr. just go out there and play ball the way we've seen him play.
Yeah, I 1,000% agree. And for me, I love Antoine's versatility. The guy can do so much. But it's very clear that he was stretched thin, not to mention he was a guy who has concussion issues. He suffered a concussion last year, suffered a concussion the year before that. Putting him in the muck of things, that might be concerning for Todd Bowles and company, including Jason Light up there in the GM office, worried about one more hit could put him in a really bad position. Now, he's going to still have to make tackles. Don't get me wrong. But if you remember the hit in Carolina where he got the concussion, that was just right off the edge. And he shouldn't have to be put in those tackling positions anymore. You're just trying to limit some damage. Antoine Winfield Jr. is a bowling ball. So he's going to continue to play the way that he plays, and he's going to have to make tackles. So understandably so, but you hope that they're going to be on some smaller individuals as far as receivers are concerned versus getting in the muck of everything in the trenches. So maybe that's a small part of it as well. But there's no debate that Antoine Winfield Jr. is one of your best players, and having him patrol everything as sort of a center fielder out there, I think that will only provide positives for this defense.
Yeah, it's definitely going to create some plays for the defense, going to create some nightmares for the opposing offenses. But Kyle Trask really likes the quarterback room assembled in Tampa, but how have the players looked so far in OTAs? That is coming up next here on Locked On Bucs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Looking for a delicious snack, but don't want all of the sugar and calories? Then you need the best tasting protein bar ever built. You got to try this. Built bars are healthy. They taste amazing. They taste so amazing that you're not going to think that they're actually healthy. They're covered in 100% real dark chocolate. They come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream. They got a very vanilla bar on built.com right now. They're just all the flavors. Mint brownie, delicious. These bars taste like a candy bar, while maintaining amazing macros with only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 17 grams of protein. You can get them now at your local Walmart or Sam's Club, while your specialty flavors, like Berry Vanilla, can be found at built.com. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puff. And if you're close to a Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with hit flavors like brownie batter puff and churro puff. However you get your Built bars, you got to try this. Thank you so much for making Locked On Bucks your first listener view every single day. Every dayers, most dayers, even those of you just checking in for the very first time this episode, you have to come back tomorrow, where David is going to be joined by PFF's Trevor Sikkema.
Oh, Tampa Bay Trey.
To talk all things Bucks. If I was on the episode, I would ask him when he's going to change his Twitter handle and remove the Tampa Bay, since he decided to go on NFL Network and talk about how the Saints are going to win the NFC South. So, you know, that is an issue, Tampa Bay, Trey. But no, we're looking forward to having Trevor back on the show. He was one of our first guests ever when we started doing this show. Our longtime everydayers remember those days. But we're not here to talk about Trevor Sikkema. We're here to talk about Trevor Sikkema's favorite player, and that, of course, is Kyle Trask. You all know Trevor's a Florida guy, but Trask told the media on Tuesday that he really likes the quarterback room that they have in Tampa. And he said, quote, "I think the whole quarterback room that they've built is really good. Like I said, everyone has great experience and something to offer. They've played a lot of snaps of football and have seen a lot of things in a similar offensive setting too. So there's a lot of stuff for everybody to learn," end quote. And I love that take, because that's exactly what you need. And you're transitioning from the GOAT, right? So you want to bring in multiple people, like, you know, you have Baker Mayfield, who has a lot of on-field experience, a lot of different experiences through winning, through losing, through transitions to multiple teams. You have Wolford, who's coming in, Super Bowl champion. You know, has, you know, he's been through the best and the bad. So you have all these different experiences. You have all these different backgrounds coming together, working together to try to make the best offense they can under Dave Canales. But we can say all these things now. The question I have for you, one, Mr. Evan Klosky, is how have the quarterbacks looked so far in OTAs?
Well, if you go on social media, if they're getting vilified. Let me explain this. So last week, Baker and Kyle Trask each had one bad throw. As far as like the media and what we were able to shoot and what was put out there in social media, they both had one bad throw, and they were ripped apart for the one bad throw that they made in an entire practice. The 7-on-7 stuff that we watched, they actually looked pretty good. I would say Baker looked a little bit better than Kyle Trask, who I think threw a pick in that session, and whatever. But I thought that both of them had a pretty good week last week. In Tuesday's session, the fourth OTA, they did not look good. And that's just being completely honest, because I got eyeballs and they were missing a lot of throws. Having said that, it does not mean diddly poo. Okay, so whoa, you're going to see people just ripping them apart. Oh my God, they stink. They can't hit throws, so on and so forth. It is May 30th. We are just jonesing for some football, so we're attaching ourselves to this. But I compared it on air to ripping apart a pitcher at the beginning of spring training. And I would even take it a step further. It might be going on Instagram Live as a pitcher in January and throwing wild pitches and people being like, oh no, person so-and-so can't pitch anymore. They're erratic. It's like, who cares? And by the way, nobody is saying that any of these people are Tom Brady. They're not. We know that the Buccaneers quarterback situation is bad. It's not a good situation. We're hopeful that they are going to outperform what their expectations, what their perceptions are. But on paper, as far as their resumes are concerned, it's not pretty, right? Baker Mayfield's on his fourth team in 3 years. If he was so good, he'd still be in Cleveland. And Kyle Trask suited up twice in his NFL career. If he was so good, if he impressed the guy so much, they would have elevated him, at least on game day. They would have made him the number three versus being the fourth guy and the fourth guy back-to-back years under even Ryan Griffin. So, you know, I said he's taken a gray shirt and a red shirt. So we have no idea what Kyle Trask is. We don't know if he's good or bad. There's like zero opinion out there that anyone can have on Kyle Trask. The coaches don't even know. Jason Light doesn't know. They just want to throw him into a competitive situation, say, here you go, champ. This is your situation to compete for it. And then, you know, John Wolford, whatever. I mean, you know, a third stringer who has a little bit of game experience, which I think is exactly what you need from that third string quarterback. So, you know, look, Kyle Trask came from the school of Tom Brady. He said all the right things. And, you know, I appreciate that. Certainly with what he's doing, where he's at, he's nowhere near the ability to ruffle any feathers. I mean, he was even asked, who's a wide receiver that sticks out to him? And he said, all of them look great. I mean, you know, it's one of those situations. So let's, A, not get carried away on what we see from some throws versus air and no, you know, no cornerbacks, nobody guarding these receivers. And I know people out there are like, well, if they can't complete these throws now, how are they going to do it when they have a rush? How are they going to do it when they have people draped all over them? And the answer to you is, first off, in OTAs right now, there are three people who are participating who have more than a year's worth of experience in the NFL. Chris Godwin, David Moore, David Wells. So, you know, and outside of Chris Godwin, the other two aren't unknown. So these aren't really the people that they're going to be throwing to. Not to mention, it's a completely new system. Timing is way off. These players don't know each other. I mean, even Trask outside of Godwin, I mean, they haven't really thrown any of these guys. And if they have, it's been for a very limited amount. Like, I'm sure Trask has thrown a little bit to Devin Tompkins last year, but he didn't get much practice time. So it's like, just have a little grace, have a little patience. In training camp, things will ramp up, the dial will turn, the training wheels and the things that you're trying to tinker on need to get a little bit more refined as the weeks go on. And then we'll see them in game action and see the application of that stuff. But these guys are not working on preparing for a game. They're just screwing around. Like, they honestly are. I mean, we don't know if Baker's working on, you know, different techniques. You don't know with the new QB coach, with Dave Canales stepping in, if they want him to do X, Y, and Z with his footwork. There's so many little things that just go beyond the privy of what we fully understand. So I think we can be honest and say, well, that's not good to see, and also realize it does not matter seeing it. So, you know, if they completed every pass right now in OTAs, nobody would be like, oh, crap. Is Baker and Kyle really good? Are they going to be a top 10 QB? No, people would say like, oh, cool. Like, it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
It's either they get ripped apart or they get no credit. So whatever, who gives a crap? It's May 30th. That's what it comes down to. So just, you know, there's a lot of people out there. Just it's so ridiculous.
And that's really what it boils down to, right? These guys are taking snaps, unpadded snaps in shorts in May. Yep. Like, dial it back a little bit. We'll start to see a little bit more during mandatory minicamp. You know, when you have the guys that are going to be on the field, out on the field, you know, when you start to see that. But yeah, you're 100% right. When it comes to training camp, that's when you're able to start really getting a sense as to how things are going, how the timing is, how the chemistry is, the rhythm, and who is starting to separate themselves in the competition. You know, and it's funny, you mentioned they each had one bad throw and both of those throws end up on the internet. My nephew sent the Baker throw to me on Instagram today. And I'm like, dude, I've seen it. Like, really, this is what we're doing? Do we need to go back to your days of Andy Dalton? And
yeah,
you know, it's deep breaths. Woosa. It's May. Woosa. All right. Well, we've talked about the quarterbacks a lot. We've talked about a lot of the players quite a bit, but it's always the same names coming up over and over. It's Lavonte David. It's Devin White. Mm-hmm. Who's the Buccaneer that we aren't talking about enough? That's coming up next here on Locked On Bucs. Wrapping things up here on a WTSP Wednesday edition of Locked On Bucs podcast. James Yarko, Evan Klosky, and we've just kind of talked about it a little bit at the OTAs. Chris Godwin is there, which is huge. He is a major factor on this roster. He is a leader of this football team. Vita Vea and Jamel Dean, they joined the fray on Tuesday. Again, you're talking about a defensive captain and a team leader in Vita Vea. Talk about Jamel Dean, who just got his bag. He's expected to have some semblance of a leadership role. Not to the level of Vita, not to the level of Levante, even Devin White with his contract stuff. You still expect him to be a leader on this football team. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Ryan Jensen. These are all guys that we constantly refer to as captains, as leaders, as, you know, the bar at which the expectations are set, right? So you lose Tom Brady, who is the epitome of leader. Now you take a look at this roster. You take a look at the change on the offensive side of the ball. You take a look at it being Todd Bowles' second year. You look at how young they are. Evan, who is someone that we aren't talking about, that no one is really talking about enough, that has to take a big step forward into that leadership role to help take this team forward into the future?
Yeah, it's very interesting, by the way, because all but one captain is returning this season, and that's obviously Tom Brady. So it's going to be intriguing with, Tristan Wirfs, I think, is going to wear a C on his chest. I think he's a guy that is going to be a cornerstone player for this franchise. You'd think he's going to be a Buccaneer forever, at least through the majority of his career, a Ring of Honor type guy. So he's someone that you want to see take that next step as far as a leader is concerned. He has led by example his first few years in the NFL. Now it's time, especially on a younger offensive line outside of Ryan Jensen, who's another leader, it's time for him to kind of own that room and galvanize the offense around the couple other veterans, you know, like a Mike Evans, who's a captain, Chris Godwin, who is captain worthy, in my opinion. So they certainly have that. On the defensive side, look, Jamel Dean, you just got paid. A little bit more of a quieter personality, but he's someone who needs to lead now that his checkbook says something that ultimately comes with more responsibility. Antoine Winfield Jr., he wants his checkbook to say something next year. We think he's one of the best players on this defense, on this team. He's got to step up into a leadership position. So, you know, the veterans on this team, they're very surface level. And I say that in the fact of, like, pretty much most of the starters that we're going to see come game one, most of them are veterans. It's the depth that you're really not seeing many of that. So it's up to kind of these A-listers, the number ones on the two deep across the board. I mean, you can pluck out a ton of different names. It's up to them who have been here, who've won a Super Bowl here, to continue the standard that Tom Brady set when this franchise had a seismic shift in personality, expectations, and production. So we can go down that list, but to me, it's going to be a team effort. Like, it's going to be a group effort with those Super Bowl winners to really make the Buccaneers franchise move into this next era seamlessly, even if it's not going to be with a Super Bowl championship this season. It's to compete your ass off, prove that you're a competitive squad, and set yourself up for future success
very similarly to what maybe the Seahawks did last season, where they made the playoffs, where nobody thought that was going to be a possibility. And now people are high on them, right? Now they have a great foundation to work from after being a fairly young team with some certain holes that needed to be filled.
Yeah, and you know, we've mentioned a couple of times, this is pretty much a two-year process at least for the Bucs to get back to being the favorite of the NFC South. Right now, they're the most hated team in the division, you know, by all metrics that you could take, whether it's national media, betting lines, anything like that. But yeah, you take a look at one of the guys that you mentioned in Antoine Winfield Jr., who we led the show off with. You have Vita as the captain up front. You have Lavonte and Devin as the captains in the middle. And then you have Antoine in the back end. It's unfortunate that, you know, you can't pass out four of them. But it's something that David and I mentioned before. It harkens back to the old, like, glory days of the late 90s, early 2000s, where you had your captain at each level of the field. You had Sapp on the line. You had Brooks in the middle. You had Lynch in the back. Now it's, you know, we assume that Lavonte David has a year or two left. So you would hope that they can get the stuff with Devin White squared away. Then moving forward over the course of the next 4, 5, 6 years, you have Vita in the front, Devin in the middle, Antoine in the back, almost replicating that kind of recipe for the different levels of leadership, the different guys that are supposed to take control of those parts of the defense and really make it a formidable unit from front to back.
Yeah, and with everything that's gone on this offseason with Devin White, he's got a lot to prove, a lot to, you know, and his stats speak for themselves, you know. The quotes speak for themselves when Todd Bowles is comparing him to a guy like, you know, Brian Urlacher. But I want to see, A, if the team still views him as a leader, voting him as captain. That's going to be very telling. And if he does assume that captaincy, are you going to work your ass off every single game? No Baltimore Ravens Thursday night football experience, okay? Every single game, you bring your A effort. And that's something that I know that Lavonte has done. Lavonte, he views as a mentor. Highly, just, you know, we saw in a post, someone he's always respected and spoken highly of. You know, Lavonte goes out there and he does his business, you know, each and every game. Very rarely, you know, sometimes he has a good game, sometimes he's a bad game, but very rarely are we ever circling him and being like, man, is he half-assing it right now?
Yeah, you never question the effort. Sometimes the results aren't what you expect, but you never, ever question the effort. And, you know, I expect to see that out of Devin this year. And I hope.
I do too.
I hope that we do see that out of Devin. And I hope that gets reflected in, it's like, all right, you did exactly what we were hoping you would do. You did exactly what we needed you to do. Here's your bag. And, you know, you're a Buck for life. We'll see how all that plays out as the world turns. But that is going to do it for this episode. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, David will be joined by Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus.
I'm just the appetizer. He's the entree.
Yeah, it's Trevor. He's on television now. He's just,
he's a big deal.
He is a big deal. But, you know, we all get to say we knew him when. Knew him when.
Nah, he's good.
But in the meantime,
he's a great follow.
He is, and he's a great dude. Like, really, that's what it boils down to.
And he looks like Steven Stamkos.
He does kind of look like Steven Stamkos.
No, he is Steven Stamkos. I've never seen them both in the same room. Like, they've never been in the same room together. So, to me, we know that Stammer's a big football guy. He's a big sports guy. I'm just saying.
Well, it's just like we've never seen Mike Evans and Caleb Martin in the same place at the same time. My son and I have started referring to Caleb Martin as Miami Mike Evans.
Miami Mike.
If you have questions, thoughts, ideas, anything at all that you want to send in, especially with Trevor coming on the show, of course, you can leave those in the live chat, in the YouTube comments, or email them to LockedOnBucksPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining Locked On Bucks and making it your first listen or view every single day, making us part of your day, part of your routine. And if you have anything else, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, NBA Finals, shout out to the Denver Nuggets for David Harrison. Anything at all that you want to discuss, of course, we are on Twitter at JRCO_Bucks, at Eklosky WTSP. David is at DHarrison82. And of course, the show is at Locked On Bucks. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, fire the cannons. We thank you so much for joining us right here on Locked On Bucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.